American Civil Liberties Union versus Alvarez, Mr. O'Brien.
Please, the court. We'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. In Vodak v. City of Chicago, this court describes an anti-Iraq war march.
Yeah, I know. But but what I'm not interested in really what you want to do with these recordings of people's encounters with the police, but. Suppose you have a person who his pocket is picked, and he's very upset, and he accosts a policeman, and they have a conversation, and someone runs up with a tape recorder and records it, and gives it to the radio station, and it's broadcast all over the place, and it's an embarrassment to the to this individual. Now, on your view, is that constitutionally privileged?
Well, it depends, Your Honor. Let me add some additional facts. If it occurs in a public place,
with a conversation, yes,
is audible.
Of course.
Could, without audio recording,
yes,
take notes,
yes,
and publish the same story.
Yes.
Assistance of the device.
Oh, come on! Stop fencing and answer my question.
The answer is that is unconstitutional to prohibit the audio recording in that situation.
By that. I mean, then people don't have any privacy at all, right? This is a person, his pocket is picked, he's involuntarily, on your view, becomes an object of public curiosity and by having it broadcast all over the place and make people very reluctant to have any kind of conversation with a police officer. Who knows who's lurking, who's looking for, embarrassing material to broadcast.
Well, I think your scenario, Your Honor, has two inquiries. One is whether or not that activity implicates the First Amendment. And secondly, if it does, whether or not there is a substantial governmental interest in regulating the use of audio recording there because of, for example, it implicates privacy interests. I think as to the first, Your Honor, it clearly does implicate First Amendment concerns. What police officers
whenever you're talking about the First Amendment, you're balancing the interests, the first, the communication or information purposes of the First Amendment against all the other interests that people have, right? If you look at what free speech actually means in the United States, it's full of limitations, whether it's copyright law or defamation or criminal solicitation. There are all sorts of restrictions. So why shouldn't there be some recognition? It's not just privacy. It's the police being able to operate effectively without everything they do being publicized.
Well, Your Honor, again, what we're challenging is the incremental regulation on audio recording. We're taking pictures, taking video, taking notes, listening is all permissible and recognized to be First Amendment protected. So what incremental interest is served by the prohibition on audio recording? We say none.
And well, I just gave you an example. There's a big difference between some bystander happening to overhear some conversation between a police officer and a person. Could be a suspect, could be a victim of crime, could be an injured person, could be anything. And having that broadcast all over the world,
This regulation doesn't prohibit that, Your Honor. It doesn't prohibit the broadcast of it. I could sit there and take copious notes and publish the same broadcast. And the risk with the regulation on audio recording...
Copious notes. You don't broadcast notes.
No, I could broadcast the story. I could broadcast the information.
There's a big difference between broadcasting a story and actually broadcasting the words, the shrieks, the groans, what have you, of the people, of the person being interviewed by the police. Plus the fact, if you permit the audio recordings, there's going to be a lot more of this eavesdropping.
Your Honor, what our desired program intends to do is to...
It doesn't matter what your program intends to do, because you're not asking for an exception limited to monitoring police conduct at demonstrations. You're asking for something much broader, which is, you know, those four things you mentioned. Public encounter with the police. You think that can be broadcast, even if it interferes with the police investigation? Maybe they're talking to some confidential informant.
No, if it interferes with the police investigation, there's going to be some reasonable time, place, and manner restriction on the ability.
What does that mean?
And
now,
the ability
suppose
to pardon?
You have one of your snoopers, you know, going up with his tape recorder. And suppose the police are interviewing some confidential informant, that it's very important for them that this person not be identified. And there's nothing they can do about it?
And it's so important to the police that the conversation remain confidential, that the conversation is taking place in a public place where passersby can listen to the conversation and take notes. That's not reasonable, Your Honor.
That's not a reasonable distinction. Are you prescribing how police are supposed to deal with confidential informants?
No. Not in the least, Your Honor. Nor are we trying to interfere with permissible law enforcement in any way, shape, or form. This application of the statute doesn't advance any genuine law enforcement interests. Again, in your hypothetical, if they wish to have a private conversation with a confidential informant, they're not going to have it outside in the federal...
How do you know?
It doesn't make any sense, Your Honor.
Of course it makes sense.
It makes sense to conduct a conversation.
You have an undercover policeman who operates in some neighborhood that's full of gangs and so on, and he may run into one of his confidential informants, and they may exchange a few words, and he's not known, he's not identified as a police officer, he's an undercover agent.
Remember, Your Honor,
I'm very suspicious when the civil liberties people start telling the police how to do their business and what's efficient police practice and
remember, Your Honor, in our situation, in your example, the confidential informant in the gang neighborhood, it would be a situation where it would be lawful for us to take video.
I don't know anything about how police
lawful
operate.
For to take pictures. It'd be lawful to take notes. What we're challenging is this incremental regulation on audio recording,
the
which we think only enhances
information gathering. Once all this stuff can be recorded, there's going to be a lot more of this snooping around by, reporters and bloggers and...
Is that a bad thing, Your Honor?
Yes, it is a bad thing. There is such a thing as privacy.
And, Your Honor, we are not challenging any application of this act where there really is a legitimate expectation of privacy. We have said that ad nauseum. I don't know how much clearer we can be about that point. In a situation where there's a legitimate expectation of privacy, there is a sufficient state interest
totally
to justify
circular.
The application.
That's totally circular.
That qualification was removed from the statute.
Pardon?
That qualification was removed.
I understand
from the
that,
statute.
Your Honor.
Right, that's the issue.
So that can no
Mr.
longer
O'Brien?
Be advanced as a sufficient, substantial interest to justify the First Amendment regulation.
Mr. O'Brien, you've suggested that if we agree with your position, we ought to grant injunctive relief on appeal, although there's been no hearing before the district court on such things.
That's our request, Your Honor.
It's unclear to me what scope of injunctive relief you're talking about at this point on a preliminary basis.
What we're asking for is a preliminary injunction against the Cook County State's Attorney's Office from enjoining us criminally for audio recording police engaged in their public duties when the recording is open.
Applicable only to the ACLU?
Oh, no, Your Honor. I mean, it would apply to anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We happen to be the litigants, so we're asking for the relief.
Is the record sufficiently developed for that? My understanding is the case was dismissed on the pleadings and there were never any proceedings held on the injunction motion.
Well, the case law is pretty clear that where the injury is a chill on First Amendment rights, you satisfy the requirement for irreparable injury.
Right. I'm not asking about that. I'm asking about the substantive First Amendment question. That requires the development of at least some record.
Well, we think that's something that could be determined on the law, as the First Circuit recently did in Glick. Judge Conlon, the district court, ruled that there's no First Amendment right implicated here whatsoever. So the district court didn't even reach any sort of level of scrutiny, be it strict, mid, or some other variant. That hasn't happened below, but we think that the record is clear.
What do you think it should be?
What level of scrutiny?
Yeah.
We've advanced three bases for it being strict scrutiny, but we think it does.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you asked me a question, Your Honor.
You yourself said, you know, there are time, place, and manner restrictions. The gangs will love your rule. They'll go around. They'll be able to monitor each other more effectively with their audio recordings.
Again, Your Honor, our situation is limited to situations where you could...
Gang member says, you know, I heard this guy talking to a cop. And the other gang members say, well, how do you know it was he? I don't believe you, and you're untrustworthy. They say, well, look, I have the recording. That's what he said. This guy's working for the police.
And he can otherwise...
What do you do with a case like that?
A case like what, Your Honor?
What do you do with the case I've just given?
Where a gang member is audio recording an encounter with the police and a civilian?
Yeah.
Well, Your Honor, if the gang member is in a public place and he's otherwise allowed to video that encounter, take photographs of that encounter, take notes of that encounter, republish the substance of that encounter, it seems to me there is no governmental interest served by the incremental regulation on the use of an audio device.
He doesn't have a video.
Sorry?
I don't see the difference between actually video and audio if the video has a soundtrack, right? Doesn't make any difference whether it's a video.
Right, but the statute only criminalizes pushing the audio button on the video camera. The statute permits...
Right, of course, but there's a difference between a silent video and a video with a soundtrack.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Now, in my case, this gang member sees someone talking to a police officer, and he goes up and he listens, and he makes a recording. If he's not allowed to use the recording, not allowed to make the recording, just listens, then he reports back to gang headquarters, says, I heard this guy talking to a cop, and I think he's betraying us. And maybe the other gang member says, well, we don't know, we think he's a good guy, what's your evidence? And he pulls out his recording, and then he gets the evidence. That's why I say the gangs who are very interested in monitoring each other will rejoice in your case if you prevail, unless you're willing to recognize, you know, restrictions. That's why I asked you about level of scrutiny. If it's strict scrutiny, then very hard to limit and deal with cases I've given. If it's less, then there may be all sorts of appropriate restrictions.
And we've argued that
the appropriate restriction is that if the police are engaged in lawful activity, investigations, and they don't want to be overheard and recorded and so on, well, that's a legitimate state interest.
And we're not questioning that, Your Honor. What I'm saying that defies common sense is that the police would have no interest
in... No, it doesn't defy common sense, because there's a huge difference between just being an eavesdropper and having the evidence, the proof of what you heard in the form of a recording, especially when it's broadcast. That's a totally different quantum difference, both an invasion of privacy and in potential disruption of police activities.
We beg
Mr.
Differ.
O'Brien, could I ask you a question about your position? It's a little unclear to me about the extent to which your position depends on whether the recording is being done, quote, openly. And I don't know exactly what you mean by openly, since the difference might simply be whether there's a red light on an electronic device.
What we mean by openly in describing our proposed program is that if the officer or the civilian wants to observe us recording, it will be apparent to them. We're not going to have some sort of secret recording device. The recording
not
device...
Not the pen in the pocket or something like
that. That's
correct.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can make a good case that it doesn't make any difference.
Right. You're talking again about what you intend. What is it you view as the scope of the constitutional right? The recording recording device has to be in the open? Is that part of your constitutional position?
No, Your Honor. This, our
so why do you answer it that way?
Because he asked what we meant by that when we said what our proposal was.
No, it's not what you mean. It's your
intention. The follow-up question is whether your constitutional position depends upon whether the recording is open.
If all the other requirements that we've laid out are satisfied, which we think implicates the First Amendment right, we don't think it matters whether it's open or surreptitious if it's out there on the Daily Plaza.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. O'Brien. Mr. Poulos?
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Jim Poulos on behalf of State's Attorney Anita Alvarez. The Illinois eavesdropping statute protects the speech rights of all speakers, ranging from citizens to police officers. It's ironic that because of this very protection that the ACLU alleges violations of its own First Amendment protections.
How is there a legitimate privacy interest in conversations that are going on in public with a public official that are audible to passersby?
Your Honor, the constitutional scrutiny under the First Amendment is whether or not there's...
What's the governmental interest or the privacy interest in preventing that recording?
Your Honor, the case law has acknowledged initially that public officials speaking on matters of public concern do, in fact, retain privacy interests.
What?
Now, specifically, if I could point to the case of Bartnicki, implicitly in Bartnicki, the Supreme Court held that public officials speaking on a matter of a public concern, in fact, that the antecedent audio recording.
That was a surreptitious recording of a private conversation about a matter of public concern, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. That has nothing to do with this situation. By assumption here, we're talking about conversations that are audible, visible, can be photographed, can be videotaped, can be taken down with shorthand. Why is there an incremental problem with an audio recording?
Your Honor, because the speech rights to the citizens in this country are of the most revered constitutional rights of belonging to
citizens.
So
far, so good.
Now, a speaker has an opportunity, and a speaker should have the right to choose their listener, to choose their message, and to choose how their message will be
consumed.
They're
already speaking in public where they can be heard by anybody. That's by axiom here. That's the presumption.
Your Honor, in agreement. But the point is that there is a qualitative difference, as this Court has already asked earlier during the questioning of opposing counsel. The issue here is the qualitative difference of that. Audio recording somebody else's speech for dissemination to an unknown audience versus a speaker's right to control how that message will be broadcast and how that message will be received and ultimately consumed.
But this is a speaker who has no control over the distribution of video, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
No control over distribution of photographs.
That's correct, Your Honor.
No distribution over broadcast of a transcript of what was said.
Your
correct?
Honor, that's all true. And the ACLU is seeking protection based on is seeking First Amendment protection based on an extension of limited right to record or film images, based on the fact that audio recording is the technological relative of audio recording. However, it's based on the principle, the underpinning principle, that First Amendment, that we're all here based on speech, and we're based on the speaker's rights. And what the Illinois eavesdropping statute does is guarantee that the speaker will be able to control how that message is displayed. And even if that message is broadcast in a public square, that speaker still has rights to decide whether or not...
Unless the police choose to make the recording, right?
Your Honor, again, yes, that's true.
The police are able to make that recording, and those recordings can be distributed at their discretion, correct?
Not always. Your Honor, there's very
Never?
Narrow... there is opportunity, there is times if there's an enforcement stop, then police officers, of course, that they may.
And there are good reasons for that, or if it's a demonstration, they can take those photos and can disseminate and those audio recordings and can disseminate those, correct?
Well, no, Your Honor. Unless it falls within one of the narrow exemptions under the eavesdropping statute. The eavesdropping statute applies to enforcement stops. It applies to during the discharge of a taser.
Any time the police choose to record the conversation.
That's not true, Your Honor.
No?
My interpretation of the Illinois eavesdropping exemption with respect to that is not that broad. It includes law enforcement stops, and specifically. Particularly, it affords significant control over that audio recording that's taken by law enforcement. There's custody issues that are also legislated by Illinois, and police officers that are going to engage in single-party consent also have an opportunity to have judicial oversight with respect to that. Now, Taking a step back from the constitutional issue, it's our position as well that the threshold inquiry is that the ACLU's intention of is whether or not the ACLU's intention of engaging in a police monitoring program is a case or controversy within Article 3. Now, it's our position that the ACLU has alleged only abstract questions and is seeking an advisory opinion over a non-justiciable matter.
This is a pre-enforcement challenge, and the standing requirements are loosened in that context. All there needs to be is a credible threat of prosecution, and that's readily apparent on this record.
Your Honor.
Your office has indicated an intention to prosecute.
Well, Your Honor, based on the lack of factually equivalent past prosecutions that the plaintiff alleges,
that's not necessary for
they don't need any prior.
Well, Your Honor, one simple fact to underscore that. Generally, Your Honor, when we're talking about a hotel precluding SCAB employees from coming into the hotel, as in 520 South Michigan, that there is a real particularized and concrete harm. Here, the ACLU is alleging broad injunctive and declaratory relief over spontaneous encounters amongst police officers, which is defined as unpredictable encounters concerning random third-party civilians and police officers.
It's very predictable. They've announced an intention to implement this program of video and audio taping police citizen encounters to the extent that they occur in public, and your office has declined to forego prosecution of any such encounter. And so it seems to me standing is established, and we should stick to the merits here.
All right, Your Honor, even assuming standing, it's our position that there is no First Amendment right.
Other states
to audio
do
record.
In these situations. Isn't the Illinois law unusual?
The Illinois law affords greater protection to the speakers. It applies broad protection where audio recording may be conducted with the consent of all parties, regardless of the privacy
interest.
Do
other states have not a similar law, but do other states make any effort to protect these police encounters from being recorded?
Your Honor, there's other circuits have held when applying state laws that allow for public conversations to be recorded have allowed for police encounters to be audio recorded.
Well, that's like the Glick case?
Like the Glick case. Now, going to the Glick case, the ACLU wants the Glick case to stand for the proposition that the exact same methods that the plaintiff was using in that case are the same methods that the ACLU presumes will be conducted in this case. And in that case, of course, the plaintiff was holding up a cell phone that has the ability to capture both video and audio. However, the First Circuit never reached whether an independent right to audio record existed. The First Circuit held that there was a right to film, a First Amendment right to videotape, a First Amendment right to capture images.
We've already said all those things, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Now,
and they went the step further and said that also includes audio recording.
Well, Your Honor, I respectfully disagree with that. The First Circuit never had to reach the issue of audio recording because under Massachusetts law, it is not a crime to audio record public conversations. What the First Circuit ruled on the issue of audio recording is whether or not the police officers had probable cause under a Fourth Amendment analysis. And because the very definition of state law in Massachusetts allowed for open public audio recording of police officers, because there's no expectation of privacy to that encounter, the First Circuit never had to pass on the issue of whether or not there's an independent right to audio record.
The statute, as I understand its scope, is not restricted to audio taping of law enforcement activities, but it is audio taping of any activities, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And if the subject of the audio tape is a police officer, the penalty is heightened. So we're not just talking about a statute that is targeted at protecting law enforcement investigations and the rights of police officers and citizens in those encounters to not have their speech recorded. And that's sort of how you've teed up your defense of this. The statute reaches much more broadly. And as I understand its scope, it would prohibit the press from audio taping anything that occurs in public without the consent of the subject. Is that right?
No, Your Honor. There's a broadcasting exemption under the statute that affords for that. Now, again,
I'm sorry. Can you explain that?
Under the Illinois eavesdropping statute, that broadcasters are allowed, if audible conversations that are overheard, incidental audible conversations that are overheard, are governed under the exemption of the Illinois eavesdropping statute.
And so, what does it take to qualify as a broadcaster?
Well, Your Honor, quite frankly, I can't speak to that. But what I would like to address...
Well, that's kind of important here.
Your Honor, the fact that there may be inconsistencies with respect to
treatment... We're in an era of citizen journalism, and if you're going to try to draw a distinction between broadcasters in the conventional sense and citizen journalists and public advocacy groups like the ACLU, you're going to have to justify that.
Your Honor, well...
And have a few more specifics about the statutory scheme.
Your Honor, quite frankly, the issue with respect to the freedom of press has been recognized that the press is not guaranteed a special right of access to that of the general public. And in this situation, even if you could say citizen journalists are prohibited under the Act, they are prohibited under the Act. But the Act itself is not unconstitutional based on that fact, that there is no authority that allows for...
The statute criminalizes any audio taping without regard to expectations of privacy. Even if those events that are being audio taped occur in the open, in public, for anyone to see and hear and otherwise observe.
Your Honor, but
it's extremely broad.
Your Honor, it's restrictive with respect to audio recording, but it is not restrictive with respect to the press.
Right, and what's the justification for that distinction?
But
under the First Amendment, what is the justification for that distinction? You're not claiming that this is categorically unprotected activity. Is that your position? Or are you claiming that this is protected activity, it's just...
No,
subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions.
No, Your Honor. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Your Honor, it's our position that the First Amendment does not recognize protection to audio recording.
Okay, so your position is categorical.
Yes. Yes,
and
Your Honor.
How do you justify that?
Well, Your Honor, we're talking the mere fact that press, as you said, may be implicated, there's no holding that says that the press has a special right of access to information.
All right. I'm not asking if there's a holding to that effect. I'm asking what your First Amendment justification is for arguing that this activity of audio taping public conversations, and let's focus it in the context here, of public officials doing the public's business in public, is categorically unprotected by the First Amendment. That's an extraordinarily broad position.
Your Honor, with respect to that, is the First Amendment principle that the press or that the ACLU or citizen journalists are attaching is the vicarious interest of another speaker, whether that be a public official or whether it be a citizen.
It's information gathering about public officials conducting the public's business on public property.
Your Honor, there is no right to receive that speech. There is no right to gather that speech without that speech.
Yeah, but you and Mr. O'Brien both, I don't know why you're arguing so broadly. I thought the issue was, is this statute unconstitutional as applied to recording of conversations between police officers and private persons? I thought that was the issue. And forget about the press.
Your Honor, quite frankly, I agree with that point, and we have articulated a fallback position in our brief that if this is an infringement on speech, that it is a valid time place, it is a content neutral time, place, and manner.
It's a balance, right? I thought your argument was that allowing audio recordings of these police encounters is, it's very harmful to the privacy of the individuals, and it's disruptive of police activities.
Your Honor, if I may conclude briefly.
No.
I've got one other question, if I could just ask for a moment. At page 34 of your brief, Mr. Poulos, you all said the ACLU does not have a right to petition government for redress on behalf of third parties. I'm curious as to what you meant by that.
Your Honor, implicitly through the ACLU's pleadings, it was unclear whether or not the ACLU intended to audio record a police civilian encounter to then submit that audio recording to that civilian so that that civilian could seek redress through the form of perhaps a 1983 lawsuit.
So?
Well, then the ACLU is asserting third-party standing over the civilian.
Well, they're asserting their own interest in that. I was wondering if you were trying to suggest, for example, that citizens cannot seek government redress on behalf of aliens, for example. You're not reaching that far, are you?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Pulo. So, Mr. O'Brien, time has expired. You can have a minute or something.
Brief.
First, Mr. O'Brien, what's your best argument for striking this statute down as applied in this context as an unreasonable time, place, and manner restriction?
My best argument, Your Honor, is it's not narrowly tailored to serve a substantial governmental interest.
How would you narrow it?
I'm sorry?
How would you narrow it?
Well, I would narrow it to exclude recording of police officers engaged in their public duties in a public place where the voice is otherwise audible. Well, it isn't. If you consider the statute as a whole, Your Honor, this statute is
answering the question. What, if any, protection would you provide for these encounters?
Well, certainly in your confidential informant situation, it seems to me exceptions could be drawn for that, because there seemed to be a grave concern about that. I should point out that...
How's that administrable? I mean, what is the police... I'm talking to a confidential informant, so everybody with a tape recorder, go away.
Well, the police could issue a move-on order to everybody around if they wanted to have that...
Issue what?
A move-on order, tell them to disperse or move away if they truly want to have a confidential conversation, or they could take the confidential informant into their squad car. Your Honor... The county is required to come forth with credible evidence in the First Amendment context that this interest would be served by this statute. And even if they had done so, which they have not, it still sweeps way too broadly. There's no question that this application sweeps in all kinds of purely expressive conduct. There's no question about that, Your Honor. So if there are law enforcement applications that are of concern, this statute clearly sweeps way too broadly when it prohibits citizens from recording the police civilian encounters in the case I began to talk about with the anti-Iraq war protest up the streets of Chicago. That doesn't involve any confidential informant, Your Honor, but all kinds of expressive conduct is swept into this statute and made criminal by virtue of this application. If there are some applications on the fringe, those can be dealt with by time, place, and manner restrictions. But what we seek to do here is not do anything that would interfere with law enforcement.
So should the ACLU be permitted to wander through police stations with audio recorders?
No. That's not what we're seeking.
Why not?
That is not a public place where the audio recorder...
find out a lot of interesting information, I'm sure, about police practices.
Your Honor, we're not advocating that.
Why
because
not?
We think there are probably, we say with the audio recording would be otherwise lawful.
Well, why don't you advocate that?
Because I understand there are good police reasons for not allowing that, just like there are
good police reasons for not allowing recordings of their encounters on the street.
There certainly hasn't been any evidence put forward of that, Your Honor.
You had a couple walking down the street in Chicago. Streets are crowded, and they're talking about sex. And someone walks up next to them with a recorder and records their conversation and then gives it to YouTube or something, and it's broadcast all over the world.
We have no right to do that, Your Honor, under the First Amendment. We have no right to do that under the First Amendment.
You don't? Why not?
Not a public official, not speech of public concern. The First Amendment isn't implicated in your hypothetical, Your Honor.
Well, I don't know. People are interested in sex. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. O'Brien and Mr. Poulos.